Seeing How the World Sees You by lead visionary Paul Chatterjee. In the rapidly changing world around us, many of us are wondering where do we fit in and how do we fit in. Fitting in can mean many things and can also involve many looks and focus for people. Conformity by yourself, with those in your close inner circle, with your neighbors, your job, your community, and your country are not all the same thing. One of the positions for where you fit in is how you're seen by the world in general and how you communicate with the world. It's been documented for a long time that the majority of communication is actually nonverbal. It is the observation that comes from visuals, actions, and behaviors that a person exhibits. In many cases, these nonverbal cues present a different position and statement to the outside world that may even conflict with the words. So how does the world see you? Are you defined by your clothes, your actions, your knowledge and skills, by the fact that you fidget, by the presentation of physical fitness? All of these or none of these? It's a complex question, and the answer is simultaneously yes to all of it, and no for all of it. The complexity comes from being in a temporal world. The current time, circumstances, and activities define a great deal of your perception to the societal world, such as your community and your job. On the outside, the first thing people see is your clothes, and those define a great deal. To better understand, let's highlight some examples. You wouldn't necessarily wear a tuxedo to a sporting event, wear swimwear to a meeting at the bank, go out to dinner in your clothes from working in the garden, or change the oil in your car in your best suit. These highlight application-appropriate clothing needs, but what does the specific clothes you wear at a moment say about you? Clothes, in many cases, are there to hide and protect the person wearing them. Wearing a uniform at work presents conformity rather than individualism. Being well-groomed and wearing a business suit represents respect and formality for an event or occasion. Wearing a big winter coat that covers you from knee to the top of your head says the weather and health are the most dominant things in that moment. In all these cases, the clothes, the visual appearance, allow a message to be presented without the need for verbal communication. Traditionally, the visual appearance is only part of the nonverbal communication. In person, the warmth or coolness of a person, their energy, facial expressions, body stance, location in the room also communicate a great deal of information to others. The world, however, has shifted once again, as a great deal of societal interaction is now not in person or person to person within a 3-foot space. They are a larger distance apart, or even worse, remotely connected with an electronic image only. There's a community of thought that says, not a big deal, I primarily talked on video chat on the phone anyways, so these new interactions are not different. But that's not true. Recently, over the past decade or so, a one-on-one video chat on the phone presented a selfie camera view to the person you were talking to, with a close-up that 90% of the image was your face. It was an electronic talker scenario, and it was primarily one-to-one. As a result, the clothes, location, body language, and other key factors were not part of the message. This was also the case when people were meeting physically. They tended to stand close, 1 to 3 feet away from each other, to be able to communicate without shouting. This also presented a narrow visible view. In these physical meetings, it's an inherent part of being a person to make a physiological connection with the other person and show comfort, respect, joy, anxiety, fear, neutrality, or boredom in the moment. These emotional components affect what your eyes see and how it's interpreted by your brain. So you don't actually recognize all the details of what's in front of you objectively. Today, however, with social distancing and high-definition cameras on cell phones and computers, some of the emotional component filters are not present, and the image of what you're looking at is different. Both the wide-angle, high-definition lens and the social distancing means you see more of the person that you're communicating with than their face, so their clothes come into the image. Additionally, their body language is less communicative than in person. They have to be more formal to hear and talk at a distance, and when on camera, they're primarily restricted to sitting with limited motion, so the video changes from the movement do not disrupt the voice transfer. Also, without the emotional component and the common situational experience of being next to the other person, people tend to try and replace this lost information with additional visual details. Hence the lighting. The quality of the image captured by the camera becomes a large part of the definition of how the person on the other side brain sees you. It also allows for the visual fixation of normally ignored details, such as what's going on in the background. How is your hair combed? Are you doing something else, like talking or drinking coffee during the conversation? What are the images that are on the wall behind you, not related to your communication, but due to the environment? By and large, people see themselves in a positive light, and their brain is fixated that their image of themselves is from an early age in their 20s, when they're defined by youth, good health, new education, and knowledge. So a foundational point to move forward is what their internal image of themselves is. People tend not to hold a true mental image of them being older, tired, frustrated, anxious, or repetitive. However, intended or not, these images are what's being perceived in electronic communication and distance talking. So what should people do? The best thing is to start with an understanding of how others see you, in your roles at work, your home life, and your true self, across electronic media and distance communications. Looking objectively at how you are on the screen, when you're sitting and standing, talking, being happy, sad, neutral, detailed, a high-level topic, are key to knowing how others will react and why. With this knowledge, you can adjust your voice, your movements, your actions, the background, and your clothes to present the message you want. A key component is to compare these images with the images of your self in a true and natural state, so you know who you are and how you want to modify that for the message you're communicating. The Roadway Intelligence community has focused on helping people discover this aspect of who they are and help them find how to dress, act, and speak to communicate what they want with the minimum effort and with maximum consistency. Remember, you and everybody are unique and beautiful. That's the underlying component of any communication you have, your individualism, not your conformity.